feeling a bit hard work from here this morning. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Oh, good. I hope you're not just saying that. Anyway, the whole idea is that we take these seven values, these things that we have said God is calling us to as a church that are important to us, and we really bed them in. We make them an even greater part of the way we live as individuals and as a church, and I'm excited by that too. So keep your eye out for some sort of wall chart or leaflet or booklet full of challenges. It will be ready sometime this week. I haven't written them all yet, which is why it's not ready today. And we will email it out, and we'll have some copies here next week for people to pick up, so you can start on the 11th completing your challenges. Vicky suggested that I do some sort of sticker chart, so you can all get a sticker when you've done something good, because it's nice to have a sticker to reward us, isn't it? But we'll see. Right, that's basically the extended notices, and now I'm going to talk about worship. So we're thinking about worship this morning, and let's start, as we often do, with a question for you to answer. What is worship?
Thinking about God's worth.
Sorry, say that again.
Thinking about God's worth.
Thinking about God's worth. Anyone else? Being in his presence.
Praising God.
Praising God, and something came from somewhere else.
A response to what he's done for us.
Annie, it's like you've been reading my notes. Anyone else? Praising God in truth through scriptures and singing. All those things, I think. Our values and vision day, we talked about the importance of worship and seeking God. We talked about music and passion and prayer and an expression of our love for the Father. At its very heart, worship is about bringing glory or worth to God. Praise is acknowledging and thanking God, and praise is part of worship, but not the whole of it. Worship is much larger than praise. Worship is about everything we do that brings God glory, that exalts him to the highest places, that acknowledges that he is God. Our worship is about doing whatever glorifies him because of who he is. And so we can come together and we can worship in song, but we should also worship, bring God glory through the way we live. And worship is always a response. Because the first move always is and always has been God's. He reaches out to us in love and grace and forgiveness, and our response is to bring him glory and praise, to live obediently, to worship. When Jesus talks about worshiping in spirit and truth in John 4, he acknowledges that something wonderful, something worshipful happens when our spirits align with God's. When we draw close to him by our thoughts and words and actions. The Greek word that is most often translated as worship in our New Testaments means to encounter God and praise him. Worship is an encounter with God. Worship, praise, bringing God glory is the normal way in which we should relate to God whenever we encounter him. Whenever we come into his presence, whenever we act on his behalf, we give him glory because he is God and he is good. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, I want us to think about four facets of worship. Corporate worship, what we do when we come together to encounter God. Individual worship, how we engage with God personally and privately. The self-sacrificial nature of worship. and receptive worship, making sure that we allow God to speak, to move in us and shape us as part of our encounter with him. We're going to start by thinking about corporate worship because maybe it's the thing that our minds go to most easily. It's how we as God's people, as a church, worship him when we come together. How we worship him on a Sunday in our services. How we worship him in small groups and other activities. The things we do together that glorify his name. Jesus promised that when we come together in his name, he will be among us. He is here in our midst. We are here, I hope, we gather together to have an encounter with him, to praise and to worship him. And when we think about worship, most of us probably think first about singing. And you know what? It's because singing is a really good way for us to worship together. Because it can be done by lots of people all at once. It's a way for us to collectively reach out to God. And there is something about music that lifts our spirits and connects us with our Creator. But our worship is not limited to our singing. The passage that Marion read to us in Colossians gives us a good idea, I think, of what worship looks like. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we do can be worshipful, should be worshipful. But here, Paul talks about coming together and reading scripture, singing, teaching, admonishing. Everything we do on a Sunday is part of our worship. Even me speaking now and you listening. It is my prayer each week that what comes from my mouth and goes into your ears would bring God glory, would be worshipful. When we've sung our last song and I've done a benediction and we stop to have tea and coffee and chat with one another, that too should be worshipful. It should bring God glory as we connect with one another as his people. Sometimes we reduce worship down to merely singing. We are going to worship now. And then we all sing, the implication being that when we stop singing, we've also stopped worshipping. In the Bible, people worship, we are told, they praise God and they worship by dance and movement, in songs and shout, in speech and clapping and kneeling and in silence. Last week here, we worship God by singing and drawing and writing and waving flags, signing songs. Worship should be about our everything. I've said before that the primary way in which God relates to his people in Scripture is not as individuals, it's together. Our relationship with Father God is bound up in our relationships with our brothers and sisters, all interlinked. And so we must come together to worship, to encourage each other, to spur each other on, to be the people of God, bringing God glory. You cannot be the people of God on your own. Doesn't work. We believe that God is with us, that his Spirit is in us. And that's true of each of us as individuals wherever we go. But when Jesus promised that he would be there when two or three gather in his name, that means something different happens when we come together as God's people, right? There is a profound, mystical way in which Christ dwells in and among us when we gather in the name of Jesus to bring him glory. Worship is the way we were created to relate to the Creator, because the Holy Spirit moves in and through us as we encounter God, something profound happens. When we gather in his name, something mystical occurs. It binds us together with one another and binds us as a family with our Father. There is an equipping, a building up, an encouraging, a forgiving, an admonishing that is part of being part of this family. And worship, even in the midst of hundreds or thousands of people, should never be passive, right? There are people who would like to be able to turn up to church and not participate. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to sit and observe. But worship is not a show to watch. Worship is a conversation to be part of. I was at a gig last week with Vicky and about 72,000 other people. And there was one guy who, it must have been his dream come true when he was invited up on stage to play guitar with the band, right? And that must have been absolutely incredible. And that was the closest that any one of us, any one of the 72,000 of us had to having a relationship with anyone on stage. We sung along with the songs, but we made no connection. We went to see the show, not to take part. Church is not a gig. It's not a theatre performance. It's not a recital. We are not here to watch the band and hope that they play well. We are here to engage in a relationship with God together. And that means taking part, maybe even when you'd rather not. And more on that in a moment. Let's touch on individual worship. If worship is bringing glory to God, then it's definitely something we can and should be doing on our own as well. If worship is the way in which we engage in our relationship with God, then it's something that we can do both together and as individuals. Reading his word for ourselves is worship. Speaking to God and listening for his voice is worship. Living our lives according to his purposes is worship. As Colossians 3:17 says, we are to do everything in the name of Jesus as an act of thanks and praise. I wonder how much of your life is glorifying to God. I wonder how we can make sure that we are glorifying God in our work and in our leisure, in our conversations and contemplations. A good start is focusing on God, deliberately engaging in our relationship with him, making an effort to think about what is true and noble and right and pure and holy and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. That's a good start. It also means anticipating, welcoming, working at transformation. When Paul writes about worship in Romans 12, he talks about us being renewed and transformed by it. Back when I was a teenager, the WWJD wristbands were all the rage. They were a reminder to think in all circumstances, what would Jesus do? And there is value to that. But maybe a better question, maybe one that connects with the sort of worshipful people that God designed us to be, is, will this bring glory to God? What am I doing now and how is it bringing glory to God? What brings glory to God is not always what is easy or convenient for us. It is not always what we feel like doing, which coincidentally brings me nicely onto my next point. It's funny how that works. Worship should be self-sacrificial. Hebrews talks about a sacrifice of praise. Romans 12 tells us that giving our very selves as a sacrifice is how we are called to worship. And maybe the best place to start on this is to ask you a question. It's all right, I'm not expecting a response this time. I've given up on that. Who is worship for? Who is worship for? Think about that for a moment. Worship cannot be, should not ever be, self-centered. Worship is about God. It is a response to his grace. It is about giving him glory. It is not about you. It is not for you. It is God-focused always. Now, there's this wonderful thing where sometimes when we encounter God, when we worship him, when we focus on him and his word, when we are singing or praying, something does happen in us too. Sometimes as we worship, we feel God's presence, and that is nice. Sometimes we feel connected to each other, and that is nice too. Sometimes we are convicted. Sometimes we come to a deeper understanding. We are indeed transformed as we worship, and all that is wonderful. But it is not why we worship. It's not about me. We don't worship because it feels nice. It is about God, and we worship him because he is worthy. So we bring him worth. And so when we're doing the corporate worship thing, when we come together for a church service, we shouldn't just come and engage when it suits us. We come and engage even when it's hard. We come and worship even when we would rather not. Because it's not about, can I be bothered to praise God today? He is worthy every day of your praise. We had an all-age service here last week. And some people were not here because they knew it was an all-age service. And they don't really like all-age services, and they don't feel particularly comfortable at them. And if that is you, shame on you. Because frankly, that is selfish, and our worship should never be selfish. We come together for God's glory, not for your comfort. We come together to encourage one another and build each other up and spur each other on. And you certainly can't encourage the young people who helped lead our service last week from home. Worship is not about you and your comfort and your wants and your needs and what feels nice. It is about God and giving him glory at him, and it always involves self-sacrifice. And you know what? There is even more self-sacrifice demanded of you than singing songs that you might not like on a Sunday. Worship is about living your life in that same generous, self-sacrificial way, self-giving way, doing things for the sake of God and his glory rather than your own. It's about praising God and worshiping him even when you do not feel like it, maybe especially when you don't feel like it. When times are hard, when circumstances suck, in the midst of grief and despair, coming to God and worshiping because he is still gracious and loving and our forgiving God. Choosing to worship, to give him glory, even when you do not want to, even when you do not feel like it. Because no matter how you feel, he is still worthy. I wonder how you motivate yourself to worship God when you don't feel like it. Finally, and it needs to be finally because I've gone on enough, we think about receptive worship. Worship is not for you, but it should impact you. Living life for his glory should mean listening for and hearing his voice. It should mean being convicted of our sin, our need to repent and for his forgiveness. It should mean that we are changed by God. I'll say again, our worship is a response to him, to his love and to his grace, to who he is and what he has done. But that means in order to worship well, we need to make space for him to speak, for him to guide, for him to transform and to act. I think probably too much of our prayer is time spent talking and not enough listening. Too much of our worship service is filled with us expressing ourselves to him rather than letting him speak to us. Maybe, I don't know. I know that we do need both. That's why we read scripture. That's why, ultimately, I stand here each week and talk at you. In the confidence that through these things, God can and does speak to us. And we need to build that space for him to speak into other aspects of our lives too. God is alive. Engaging in our relationship with the living God, bringing glory to him, worshiping him means receiving from him as well. It's not something that we do to God. It's something that we do with him. I wonder when the last time was that God spoke to you in worship, in a service, in your own quiet time, whilst you were off doing something else that brings glory to him. I wonder how you can make more space to deliberately stop and hear from him. At Whitley Bay Baptist Church, we believe that we are called to come before God together to bring glory to his name in worship and in prayer. And our worship involves both speaking to him and listening for his voice. I wonder how you can better live in such a way that it brings glory to God. I wonder how the life of this church can continue to bring him glory too. Let me pray. Father, we praise and thank you that you are God and that you are good. You are worthy of honor and praise. I thank you that you have called us to belong to you. And I pray that you would move amongst us by your Holy Spirit, that we might live lives that are worthy of that call. Lives that bring you glory and honor. Lives that exalt you to the place where you belong. That for each of us as individuals, we would put you on the throne and our lives would be lived worshipfully, bringing you glory, self-sacrificially, for the sake of your kingdom. And that when we come together, we will come with our focus on you and not ourselves. That our worship will never be selfish, but always selfless. That you will teach us to worship in the hard times and in the good. That, Father, in the life of this church, the name of Jesus will be glorified and go out into our town and our nation and all the earth. In Jesus' name and for his kingdom, I pray. Amen. Amen. We've got a couple of songs to sing to worship as we close our service. The first reminds us of the choice that we make to worship even when times are hard, and the second reminds us of the great glory and graciousness of God to which we respond in worship.